What's going on, Tile friends? It's Luke with Tile Money Podcast. You're listening to The Business of Tile. Today, I have a great interview with Carl Leonard, owner of Cutting Edge Tile. If you're not following him on Instagram, you're missing out, at Cutting Edge Tile. So I want to apologize and please forgive me. I'm still learning how to do this. And my voice came through very quiet, but Carl evidently put the phone to his mouth where it should be. And his voice is loud and clear. And that's good because he had a lot to say and he delivered a lot of wisdom and a lot of benefit for us all. So I'll say a few things during the interview, but if you can't hear them, don't worry, you're not missing out on much. Most of the value tonight came from Carl. So enjoy. Hello, Tile friends. Today I've got a great interview lined up for you. I'm interviewing Carl Leonard. He's owner of Cutting Edge Tile out of New Jersey, and you might know him as The Flash. Carl, would you do us a favor and introduce yourself?
Yeah. How are you, Luke, first
I'm
of all?
Good. I'm doing good. Thank you, Carl. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Well, I'd like to say hello to everyone. My name is Carl Leonard. I'm the owner of Cutting Edge Tile out of New Jersey, Florence, New Jersey, and I'm a third-generation tile installer and a designer. So I design a lot of my own projects, and we do everything from exterior tile all the way to, let's say, ADA compliant walk-in showers. So we do a lot of custom work. So this is what I do, and I love my job.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Could you share something personable before we get into the business of tiling? Any hobbies or activities?
Yeah. Well, for hobbies, I love racing cars. Along with my son, and my wife and kids, we love doing outdoor activities and remote control cars. I'd like to say I'm into speed. I love the thrill of speed. So I think I kind of pass it on to my kids. My wife, not so much, but my kids, yeah.
It's always interesting. I always like to ask that question to see what other tile installers are into. It's always interesting.
Yeah. So we love doing outdoor activities. It's really good for us.
Okay. That's great. Yep. I'm starting my family. I've got a 2-year-old, so I've got a ways to catch up to you. You have what, 4 children?
I have 4 children. My oldest is 21. I have, which is my daughter, Nirvana. I have a 14-year-old daughter, Kiera. I have a 6-year-old daughter, Ava, and my son, Mr. Flash Jr., is 3 years old. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Incredible. Man.
So you're a third generation tile setter. I'm sure that helped you out when you were working with your father and his business. And I'm sure you learned a lot. A lot of people,
I did.
You know, might not stay in tile. Why did you stay in tile, and why did you go on your own? And it looks like 2005 ish.
Yeah, well, I actually started doing tile with my grandfather's company and my uncle's. I started that. As a young kid, you know, I grew up in Trenton area and Ewing Township, my early years, and in around 8th grade, my mother got a job in Princeton, and we ended up moving to Princeton. So when I was about, I think I was in the 8th grade, I moved to Princeton, and most of my friends came for money. I didn't, you know, but one thing that I did have that they didn't have was the opportunity to work my hands, be creative, and also, you know, make money and take away, you know, have a strong work ethic and learn the responsibility of money and, you know, those types of things. So as a young kid, you know, spring break, winter break, I was working for my grandfather's company. And I found over the years that I really enjoyed it. I took away a lot of satisfaction out of creating and working with my hands and seeing the client. You know, really happy with the project that we just created for them. So, you know, I had a lot of opportunities to do other things. I've kind of dibbled and dabbled in other things, throughout my younger years. You know, I, uh, I, I used to work for South's Garage in Princeton, which was the oldest garage in Princeton. And I worked as what do you call it, a junior mechanic. So I did like doing that, but I found that it wasn't something that I wanted to do forever. It was something more like a, you know, kind of a hobby, something to fall back on, something that was cool, but not really what I wanted to do every day. And I found over the years that tile, I loved it. You know, it was something that you didn't have to force me to go do. So I figured, you know what, let's pursue this. And, you know, I was able to make a living, make a great living. And, that's what I chose to do. And I personally think that it's very important. I preach this to my kids, you know, it's very important to enjoy and to love what you do. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, you're spending all this time, working, doing something that you really don't enjoy. And it's, life is too short.
Right.
And let's really focus on what makes you happy,
right,
what brings you joy and satisfaction. And, you know, life will be that much greater if you do what you enjoy and what your calling is.
Right.
And I feel that this is my calling, is the arts of this business. And, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, we all have our good days and our bad days, our tough days and our easy days.
Right.
But I'll definitely take that. And owning your business, owning your own business is, it's not easy. It's work.
Right.
It's constant work. You know, you have your long days, you have your short days, you have your office days, and, it's a juggle, but you have to learn how to find that balance. And, it's important. It's very important,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, it definitely shows your love of the art and of the design aspect shows, you know, heavily in your work. I was, you know, scrolling through your feed. So, yeah, you're welcome. What could you give any tips to some younger guys or older guys even that are losing their joy in the industry?
Well, yeah, I can give you a ton of tips.
Okay.
And these are things that I've personally found that you kind of don't want to do. You don't want to do is, you know, one is think that you can do everything.
Right.
You know, I used to think that I could wear every hat. It's difficult, and, you don't have to do that. You know, by putting people where they fit, you know, I'm great at tile. I'm not so much as accounting.
Okay.
Therefore, you probably want to get an accountant.
Right.
You know, structuring your business is so important. You know, keeping things organized.
Right.
Knowing what your profit. Understanding that profit margins. Understanding your expenses. How much your insurance is, you know, general liability, workers' comp, auto insurance, these types of things, overhead, all these things, they play a huge part in operating a successful business. You know, all these things, they matter. You know, I find that I hear a lot or get questioned a lot. What do you charge a square foot?
Mm,
well, to yeah. be honest, yeah, to be honest, I don't charge by the square foot. The only time, actually, there is one exception. The only time I charge by a square foot is on commercial projects, and that's because of volume.
Right.
That I'll charge by the square foot. On residential homes and remodels and custom work, you can't charge by the square foot. I find that it's very, very hard to charge by the square foot when it comes to detail.
Right.
Detail takes time. But at this, in the same breath, you have to understand what you're worth, what you pay yourself per day, and learn to kind of, you know, base your price around, you know, around that. I a lot of times I can look at a job after I'm being sent plans or what have you on a project already, what's involved as far as the prep. As far as the size of the material and the design, I already can tell how long it's going to take me in this project and how many hands I'm going to need on this project so I can base my quote around right. that. Right. And also leaving yourself room in room in numbers, also room in time-wise to give yourself that buffer zone for any unforeseens. So it comes with experience, and I find that you'll learn these things over time, what to charge and how long a project should take you. Another thing is don't be afraid to ask. Obviously you want to ask someone that has experience in this particular, field that you have your question about, but don't be afraid to ask. Asking is you'll save yourself a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of aggravation. As a younger guy, I didn't ask these questions. I didn't understand, and I thought that I could figure it out.
Okay.
And asking, you're going to get the true answer, and ask multiple people that you might look up to or that have more experience than you, in these areas is asking. And, I'm actually a member of the National Tile Contractor Association.
Okay.
National Tile Contractor Association is pretty much the it's association of tile contractors and designers and architects and manufacturers that spec out. They pretty much, it's like the Bible to successful tile installations.
Yeah.
I'm a member, and I really wish I was a member earlier. I had known about it earlier, because the knowledge that this group has amongst all of its members is you can't put a price on it. You get to network with a lot of other like-minded people, and share this information that wasn't available years ago. So it's a really good thing. And, I'm a certified tile installer, meaning that, there a lot of guys don't even understand or know that there is a certification.
Right.
So you test and you go out here and, they test you on your ability to install tile, to take directions and, installation practices and coverage and all these different things.
Yep.
So it's a big thing. As far as educating yourself, it's awesome, because I stay current on all the new products that are coming out and new installation methods and all the great stuff that this business has to it. I have it at my fingertips, or I can make this phone call and I have this literature that I can read and study. Because if this is what you want to pursue as a career, you need to stay on top of it. As with anything.
And does this give you, do you feel like being a member of the NTCA and a CTI certified tile installer, does this give you an advantage over your competition in your local area?
Without a doubt. It definitely, when I go into a project or a home and I'm speaking with my client, with this potential client, these are some of the things that I'll actually point out, and the chances of another CTI bidding on that same project is slim to none. So these are the things that I want my clients to understand is, hey, listen, I'm certified. I've studied this. I'm qualified to do this. And I have experience. I have the know-how. And with this know-how and this experience and this knowledge that I have, my price is going to be different than this other guy, just because I bring this to the table, and I can back up my words with my warranty. I give a 20-year warranty on my projects.
Right.
When my client, sticks to my program, sticks to, the products that I am proposing for this project, products as far as setting materials and underlayments and waterproofing and all these different things that go along with it. They stick to what I'm proposing,
right.
And I'll give you a 2-year guarantee on this project. And what I do is the products I use, my manufacturers are also going to back
right.
it. You know what I mean? So, and that's why I use certain products.
These are really powerful points, and I'm glad you brought them up. I just want to run through them again and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like, you know, obviously you're not charging a square foot price. So what a lot of guys complain about is, well, they get underbid by people who do, you know, because if somebody's charging, you know, X amount per dollar per square foot and you come in and you're charging a daily rate, you know, it's hard to compete. But by using the NTCA and the CTI and also the knowledge of the products that you love and are very knowledgeable and the backing of the warranties, you're using all these as sales tools. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, here's my take on contractors. I think they have to compete against the other guy as far as numbers. I don't compete. Okay. You know, that client that tells me that they have a guy that's cheaper than me, less expensive than me, that probably isn't the client that I need to be working for. You know, listen, I understand that we all have to start somewhere. I fully understand that because I have been there before where, you know, Mrs. Jones calls me up to do a quote and she compares my numbers to the other guy's numbers and goes, hey, you know, you're cheaper than this other guy. And, you know, if you really want my business, you'll come down in numbers. And I've been that guy. And, you know, what I found was I wasn't happy doing the project because I was up against the clock or I was, you know, I wasn't, it wasn't in the numbers for me to use the best of materials. Yeah. So I would compromise everything for that number. And I wasn't happy with the job. I wasn't happy doing the job. I didn't want to go there. So once I got to the point where I could actually pick and choose the projects that I worked on and, you know, and I had confidence that, you know, my numbers, I know my numbers are, you know, more than this other guy, but I'm going to back it up with my strong warranty and an excellent install. And if I were to do extra work, I'm already covered. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For these extra details. So you paid me to basically to put bullnose on a niche, and I took my time and mitered it.
Yeah.
Right. So I mitered it. And now it looks that much better. And it's that much more detail involved, but I'm already covered in this. You know what I'm saying? I already figured for it because I know how I want it to look and I know which way is better. It's just more quality.
Right.
So that, you know what I'm saying? So that makes a world of difference and being able to select your contractor because, you know, not every contractor is going to be that contractor that you want to work for or homeowner. You know, listen to your gut. Your gut tells you that, you know, this person is difficult to deal with.
Right, exactly.
You can either give them a number that will compensate you for their difficulty, or you can give them a date that exceeds, you know what I mean, that's further away than they want, and let them decide.
Right.
You know, I never turn down a project. But I will plant seeds that will let the client decide.
Right. Make it.
Right. So those are those are the things that I'll do, you know, in these situations. And, you know, another thing I noticed with a lot of contractors is they don't invest in their companies. They make profit and the profit is gone.
Right.
And going, you know, they're basically, you know, financing the next project with the profits from the, you know, the one prior, and really investing in your business as far as tools, as far as machinery and all these things. They matter. They make a big difference as far as you're, you know, speeding up production or putting out a better product or something as simple as keeping your client's home clean.
Right.
Drop cloths, runners, air scrubbers. You know, we've invested in all these different products and tools to make a world of a difference. Because one of the things that I think that really gets overlooked is the fact that contractors have a bad name as far as keeping a home clean.
Right.
I see a lot of guys that come from new construction to remodel work, and remodel work is a whole different animal. You have to protect the client's home, quarantining, zip walls, stair runners, all these things, air scrubbers, cleaning up every evening, cleaning up as you go, not making dust in a person's home, taking the debris. And I learned this at an early earlier in my career. I had an old boss who used to tell me, when you leave a client's home, it should look as if you were never there.
Right.
Not leaving garbage in front of their home is really huge. It's a pet peeve of mine to go on a site and it looks as if a Tasmanian devil just went in there and just tore everything up. It doesn't matter how great of an installer you are. They will never forget the fact that you made a disaster in their home. And these are very, very important tips. Is just invest in your company, invest in your logo, brand your company. I'm not a huge company, but I will tell you this, we have our own hats. We have hoodies, short sleeve shirts, long sleeve shirts, jackets, branding. We have our own shower pan drain.
I was going to mention that. you're very well branded, and you're somebody that I've been following for a while on Instagram and Facebook, and you kind of set the bar high for the rest of us, and so I appreciate that. As far as Instagram stuff, has that you have quite the following there. Does that get you work having that account?
Actually, it does. It does. I kind of was a little naive to it at first. And the social media thing really came from trial and error. I really didn't have that much. I'm not like the computer guy at all. And, it just really, some people do. I don't, but I wasn't afraid to try. And that's one thing about me is I'm not afraid to try something. And I'll kind of sit back and I'll watch things and I'll dibble in it and I'll figure something out. And, I really learned the value in social media. I don't advertise.
No paid
advertising. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I find that sharing information is so important to our future generations. Mm-hmm. Sharing information, and I throw my number around to a lot of people to the point where a lot of times I'll get phone calls and I'll have to actually ask. I'm being honest. My number is no secret. Right. And to the people that reach out to me and they have questions, or I respond personally to them, as soon as I can get to them, and I'm always willing to help and to share. It just comes easy with me because I love sharing,
right?
And that's how I got into the business is from my uncle sharing things with me, even with tools, when guys come work for me or a subcontract, I'm the first guy to give you a tool. If I see that I have something that I can that can help you, that can assist in your daily works, listen, here you go, check it out, and tell me if you like it or not, and just sowing good seed, just being genuine.
Right.
Has allowed me to actually get to know a lot of people in this business. Get to even people that follow me. I let them in on a little bit of my personal life. You'll see pictures of my wife and kids and different things that we'll do. But you also just so you have an understanding of my personality, who I am. I'm not just a robot. I am human. Right. And also, we'll take pictures of different projects as we're going. I notice a lot of people on Instagram and social media, they tend to only show the final product. I actually will show, you know, before, during the prep, and you know, installation, so you can get a better understanding of the, my process of and different products that we use, and we use a lot of really great products that a lot of people aren't familiar with that aren't in your box stores, right. That's really separates me from a lot of other installers in my area, my general area, and you know, we travel for work. I've gone all the way from New Jersey to West Dover, Vermont, to do a project. You know, we just recently did a project in Bergenfield for Maggiano's restaurant. That was actually a referral from an from one of the NTCA member, right. That gave me that project. You know, we do a lot of projects with architects and designers that actually spec out for CTI.
Okay.
We do commercial. You know, and there's a lot of different things that we do, but you know, as far as education and social media, there's a lot to be learned, in this, and I'm not afraid to try it, but I also won't go into it without having education first. I'm not going to, you know, make any of my clients a guinea pig, and you know, hey, we'll try this now. That's not how I if I'm going to try something for the first time, I'm going to try it on my own home.
That's probably smart. That's some good advice right there.
I'm third generation in construction. Right. So I do know how to hang doors and windows. Right. I could probably see the house sheetrock back on paint, but these are the things that I specialize in. And I find that over the years that specializing in something that you love and that you're more profitable at, because I used to do kitchens and bathroom complete, and I had to rely on the electrician, the plumber, the sheetrocker, the spackler, the painter, these guys I had to oversee. Right. And I found that I was more profitable doing tile, and I was happier and less stressed. And I had less people to babysit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, you know what? I'm going to just do this. This is what I'm going to do. And any request to do anything outside of this, hire the professional.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You'll find it. You'll be a lot happier and more profitable, because now you don't have to have this warehouse full of tools and items and inventory and scraps and this and knickknack. All you're worried about is what you do professionally and you specialize in, and life is so much easier. My stress level went down.
Yeah.
And I found that I was happier.
And as you found your passion and your drive and your happiness, you also had to, you know, understand your numbers, it sounds like, and that kind of set you apart and added to the joy, because I, like you were saying earlier, you know, there can be times, stressful times or burnout, but if you're always chasing that money and you're always thinking, well, I was 3 days over this job, or I didn't bid this one correct, right, but the next one I'll make up for it. Cause I know from personal experience, I've gotten into that. And I think that's a huge problem in this trade is the competitive pricing attitude and the guys who don't understand that they can set themselves apart from their competition. Like all these things you've been explaining. And then the prices are just, they just get too low. And they start cutting corners and they lose their joy because, first of all, they can't afford to take a break or they can't afford to go that extra. It sounds like you really go 135% for all your customers to build that brand.
Right. Well, I mean, that's important. You know, I will be perfectly honest though. And a lot of these things were kind of already in me,
okay,
but they were brought out. I actually had a business coach, and I will say that as a male, we kind of shy away from business coaches,
okay,
accountants, lawyers, and psychologists and doctors. Right. So honest, and this is just real
Right.
talk here. I was introduced to a business coach, Sal Leventino, and he's in Robbinsville, and I was introduced to this business coach, and I the first time I sat with him was it reminded me of the first time I sat with my accountant. I had the
Right.
butterflies, and I was nervous, and I didn't know what to expect, and he asked questions that I just never thought of asking or asking myself. And he brought out so many key points to me, and that just really gave me a direction, as far as because I felt at one point I felt like I didn't want this business anymore. I didn't want to be involved
Right.
anymore. I didn't have the love for it. I wasn't making enough money. I was working so hard, so many hours, and he pushed me to really change my
How
thinking.
long ago was this?
About 4 years
Okay.
ago, 4 or 5 years ago. He really sparked a lot of thought, to me, into how to run a profitable
Right.
business and how you can wing it, and just being organized, and making a good
Right.
contract, having a strong contract, and making don't change your rules, having these rules in place, as far as what you need, as far as to book this job with me. In my contract, I need 100% of the materials paid up front.
Right.
Okay, that's part of my
Right.
deposit. I also need 50% of my
Okay.
labor, and this is to book a date with
Okay.
me. And the date that you're booking, you have an allotted time with me. So I'm not going to start your project and pull off of your project for a couple of days and to go run and jump to another one. I get paid when this project is complete, so it's in my best interest to close this project and move on to the next, not juggle three or four at one
That's
time.
great.
That's not right, because I find a lot of contractors doing that. And if you do stuff like that, you either have to have financial backing, okay, strong financial backing, or have a crew of guys to keep it going.
Right.
Okay, and I don't have either.
Right. You're not
Okay, so
a bank. It's not your job to pay, to bankroll their job, their tile installation.
right. So for me, what I do is I have this contract written, and everything is I have the labor, the work detail, and in my materials, everything is pretty much written out exactly how things should go. So there is a clear understanding of what is to be done,
Right.
and what you're getting for this bottom line number. And also we have our stipulations as far as what your warranty is and what we expect, and all these different things on here. And I make my clients sign it. And in order for them to book this date, they are to give this deposit, okay, and then we will go in, and we will start the work, and we will work progressively until this project is completed, and then we will move on to the
That's
next one.
great.
And that's, yeah, that's really how I find works great. This system works great for me because, for one, the clients want closure. They want this project
Right.
done in a timely fashion. I also want to move on to my next project, so I know if I work at this project and get it done, then I have closure. This person can get back to their lives, and we can move on to the next. Because if we have multiple projects open, we have money going out and nothing coming in. Cash flow is very important as a small
Right.
business.
Yep. And that's, I want to just comment on two things before we get too far. For those of you listening in various states or countries, you might want to check with your state law on how much you can accept as a deposit. Like I accept 10% to book the deposit because that's my law in California. And then the day I show up, whatever's in the contract and whatever we agree on. I mean, I could do the other 80% or not, if you could sell
Right.
it. So, right.
Right. I know California is a little different. I speak to a lot of contractors on Instagram, and they say, "Hey, man, we can't do that in California, in the state of California." And I understand why.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with fraud and just people being taken advantage of. And that's so important. And protecting the consumer is important, protecting the contractor is important. So everyone stay protected. But having a legal binding contract, I think is the most important and something that I find that a lot of people that have been taking advantage of go off of a handshake. Right. You know, handshakes are awesome. They're really awesome. But we are in 2018. Yeah. So the handshake, as much as we value it, it has no value as far as protecting you as a consumer or as a contractor. So we need to have legal contracts. Having that signature and having that person go ahead and validate it, is very, very important. And just being honorable, on these jobs and being true and being honest and being upfront with your clients, you'll find that, it goes a long way. You know, listen, mistakes happen. But owning it.
Right.
It's so important. You know, I've been on projects where, you know, mistakes will happen, but trying to cover it up is not going to make it good for you in any way. I've been on projects where, you know, we've broken something. Mm-hmm. And, it's been brought to my attention. Hey, you know, something happened over here. My first response is, where's the client? Right. Because I'm thinking of an incident right now where we actually opened up a client's garage door, and the garage door came down.
Wow.
And it came down with so much force that it actually could have killed someone.
Wow.
Bringing it to the client's attention, because we didn't know that it was already broken before we got there. And the client actually was more... they were happy that no one got hurt, for one, and two, we didn't have to take responsibility for it. We already took responsibility as far as bringing it to their attention, and we were already prepared to pay for the door, to have it repaired or fixed, what have you. But they let us know that, hey, you know, we appreciate you guys bringing it to our attention. That door was already damaged, and we're happy that no one got hurt. So little things like that. Just doing the right thing, and you'll find that you'll have a more successful business. You'll be happier, and you can sleep at night. You know, not wondering, when is it going to go bad, or when are they going to find out? Being honest,
right. And just to circle back to that written contract too. For any of you those of you listening who, you know, are doing the handshake thing, but you're wanting to improve your business, this is a great way to improve. Once I incorporated the written contract into my business, I found that my clients, they might not have expected it just because it's not the norm for contractors in my small town, but they were so appreciative of it. And in some cases, I know it won the job for me. It was the deciding factor because it protects them. It protects their house. And I use it as part of my sales pitch as well, letting them know, hey, it's a written contract with a warranty and everything's above board. And it's just nice because if the job's, you know, a larger job, you know, you have your written, you know, the way you want to get paid, the way things are going to go. And if there's ever any question, you go back, well, it was written this way, you know, it's in black and white. So.
Right. Well, that's another good point is having these payment arrangements. Right. Mine is actually structured with payment arrangements. And what I've learned over time is to have these payment dates, a date when you are expected to get this next payment and your final payment, because then you're not standing around or chasing someone for your money when the project is done. I learned this because I remember doing projects and I was always waiting for that final payment.
Yeah.
I was always chasing for the final payment. But by putting these dates on here and also putting if they are late with this payment, what the penalty is. I know my credit card companies give me a late payment. You know, if I'm late with a payment, you know, they want interest, or they right. Okay. So So with that same thing being said, you know, if I'm doing a project and I can't pay my mortgage,
right?
okay, because you want to hold on to my money, right, for an amount of times, you know. So these are the things that you really have to be wise, and you have to just be real with yourself. Listen, you know, most clients are going to respect you more by having a strong contract. And also, they're going to understand that this is business. Right. This is nothing personal. We are not pals, right, you know, anything other than that. This is business. This is how I provide for my home. And this, you know, for my family. And this is not a gig to me. This is real deal. So being straight up, being professional, sitting down in front of your client and having them sign it and go through all the details and answering all these questions that they might have and easing their concerns are very, very important. And spending the time with your client, with experience, you will know who to spend more time with and who to spend less time with, because there are a lot of tire kickers out here. So one thing that I will do is I will give clients a preliminary quote. That doesn't have that much detail. It's pretty vague, I mean, but it also gives them a base,
right,
for numbers and you know, kind of roundabout what this job is going to be. And it, you know, it doesn't take me that much time to formulate it. And then once we come to, you know, kind of narrow things down, then we will get, the actual quote. Then once we settle on that and agree on that, then we would do the invoice.
Okay.
Now the invoice, yeah. And you know, having change orders. That's another thing that I see a lot of guys get lost in is change orders. Change orders are very, very important because what they do is they actually put a dollar amount on things that were changed from the invoice. Okay. And so that you can keep track of what is owed to you extra. And so at the end of the project, it isn't a speculation or it isn't your word against theirs. This is what we did extra. You said originally we have written down for one niche. Now we have three. Okay. So now we have, there is going to be an extra charge. And I've actually had homeowners tell me early in my career that, you know, I spec this project out for a tub area and it was only supposed to get a soap dish. And now we've got three corner shelves and I give them the final invoice and they say, well, why are you charging me for the three corner shelves? Right. And my response is, well, who put them in?
Yeah.
This is my charge. So now with a change order, you're able to bring it to their attention early, mm-hmm, as soon as it happened. You know, Mrs. Jones comes to me and she says, hey, well, you know, I know we agreed on such and such. But now I think now that I see you installing and we're at this point, how about we do this? Well, OK, Mrs. Jones, no problem. Let me go out to my truck. Let's go ahead and make a change order and we'll go ahead and implement these changes. But while I have you, here's the fee. I need you to sign here. I need you to initial here. And this is what we're charging. Do you agree with this? And then you can proceed with the work. But as far as, you know, listen, I want you to change this and you kind of just keep working and you go ahead and do it. And then at the end of the job, it's almost like a surprise to them because you never gave them a number. So, you know, they almost assumed that you were going to do it for free.
Right.
It's foolish and you can eliminate a lot of headache, right, and back and forth or the worst is not being compensated for this change.
Right. Correct.
You know, so it's very important. It's very important. Also having, I like to speak to my clients either through text, if there are changes or if there's anything they want brought to our attention is through text or through email. Therefore, I always have a record of it. A lot of times I'll have a general contractor call me and say, hey, you know, we figured out what we wanted to do and we changed grout colors and I'm just going to tell you right now and I'll respond. Well, can you email it to me or can you text, right, it to me? Therefore, I have a record, gotcha, of it. So if there is any question at the end of the job or in the future, we always have a record, And that's just, you know, just protecting yourself and eliminating a situation that can be eliminated right off the bat is keeping good record of what, you know, keeping record of materials that you use on the job, keeping record of grout, the caulk color, the manufacturer, all these things. So you have a record. If there is, you know, a time where you have to go back and change a tile, or they change the cabinet and now you have to, you know, whatever the case is, you have a record of what was used. So you're not in there guessing. The client also has a record of what was used. So if there is a change in the future or there's a repair or what have you, you have it to go back on. And it's really, really important just to be about your business, be as strong as possible. And you know, if all else fails, you know, listen, ask someone that has a strong business and has strong business practices. You know, asking questions. There's never a dumb question. And I love when people say, this is probably a stupid question, but I tell them, I says, man, listen, just what is it? I you know, I'll help you if I can. And you know, there's no stupid question. The you know, what's foolish is not asking the question
Correct.
and repeating as if you know the answer.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. You, man, Carl, I want to thank you. You've delivered so much value here in this in these last 45 minutes. I want to start wrapping it up. I just want to go over a couple things. I know you mentioned it sounds like you've invested heavily, not only time-wise, but in money. You know, in tools, you talked about tools, and that can be easy for us. You know, guys like to buy tools. We almost view it as toys. But you've also invested in a business and joined some associations, paid for the education. You probably fly out to different trade shows and stuff. I know you've come out to California recently. And it was interesting too. I thought I'd re-highlight it. You actually paid for a business coach. A lot of guys will ask me, well, how do I get started, or how to, and before you even get started, wouldn't it be nice if we all just could take that business course before we even open the doors to business?
I think it would lead to a lot of stronger businesses. It would lead to a lot of great things. I don't think that hiring a business coach or going to you know, to have a business, having a business coach can lead to anything counterproductive. I think there's only good that can come out from it. You know, and it's just it was a great investment. And an investment that I definitely you know, gained a lot from, and that benefited my company. So monetarily, it was a drop in the bucket for me, you know. You know, it's a good thing. I'm actually considering going back and to visit him and just follow up and brush up on some other things, and because things change, you know. You know, if things are going good, they can go better with more education.
Right. Do you have any goals or places you'd like to take your business in the future?
You know, honestly, I'd like, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, when are you going to hire more employees? You know, I've actually dibbled in that and had at one point about 9 employees. You know, one of the things I found by having, you know, a lot of employees was, one, babysitting. Two is you know, just the craft.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
Right.
quality. And there's a fine balance between that. I'm a lot happier with less. You know, charging what I charge and having you know, fewer projects. Because in my younger years, I did more projects than I do now, and a lot of people think I'm pretty fast now,
Right.
and I do a lot now. But I used to actually do more, and I, you know, just giving the client value. It's you know, it's something that, you know, is more important to me is putting out an awesome
Right.
product.
And that's
So in the future, go ahead.
really important, because a lot of us tile setters never have a desire to grow past, you know, one employee or maybe a couple employees, but a lot of the guys will never have a desire to take their hands off the tools. And the trade lends itself to that
Right.
attitude. But what I see, and that's just the way it's always going to be in this trade, in my opinion. But what I see is the guys that are doing that, they're neglecting the business end. So I really like that you've struck a balance of you're still controlling the art that you're putting out. You know, you've tried some things. You're not afraid to try things. You're not afraid to grow. But you went back down. You want to control the art. But you also realize the need to step back and polish up your business, because that's, you know, you need to show profit. You need to have paid vacations. You've got four kids, you know, college and what have you. So that's a huge value for our trade, is when guys can do that and guys can step back and actually make some money, because you're going to be putting out higher quality work. Well, before we get off this call, any last words of wisdom? Are you there? Oh, I might have lost you there, Carl.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. Oh, I'm here. Luke? Yes, sir. I'm here. Words of wisdom. Wow. Wow. Love what you do.
Well.
Wow, man. That's a rough one. Wow, Luke. I think you got me stumped here. I think you got the flash stumped.
I encourage everybody else to, because, you know, I was taking notes, but I couldn't write everything down fast enough. So I appreciate you. I appreciate the time you've given me and what you're doing for our trade. So keep it up, and we'll keep following you on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you, Carl.
I appreciate it, Luke. I appreciate it so much. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come in and join this podcast. Right. It's been a great experience, and.